There's never a dull moment when it comes to Minnesota sports. Rather, it's positive. Or negative.
The Yankees have swept the Twins.
Minnesota Sports Chat has you covered. Talking nothing but Minnesota sports all year long. It's time now for the soon-to-be award-winning, if only in his own mind, Minnesota Sports Chat with your host, Ross Brendel.
Well, here we go. Edition number 208, give or take one or two, of the soon-to-be award-winning Minnesota Sports Chat presented by Beans Coffee Company. Use that promo code SportsChat at coffeebybeans.com. You'll save on delicious small-batch coffee roasted in Mankato, Minnesota, when you use that promo code SportsChat at checkout. Daniel House from Gophers Guru and Vikings Corner is the guest de jour today. He is on the X Machine at Daniel House MN, and he joins Minnesota Sports Chat right now. What's up, Daniel? How you doing?
Doing well. NFL free agency looming, spring ball on the horizon. Been working on some football projects, so this is a fun time of year for me.
Can you tip us off to the date yet of the alleged spring game that may or may not be open to the public? Any idea when that might be?
Not yet. It'll be coming out soon. So people will be eagerly awaiting and hoping that the weather is ready to rock this year. I think they'll be in good shape. I probably just jinxed it, but everybody in the football staff is going to be upset with me because I just said that. So,
well,
I jinxed it.
Let's hope so. In the most recent edition, and we'll get to go for football towards the end of this podcast, in the most recent edition of Minnesota Sports Chat in this feed or on the YouTube machine, Darren Doogie Wolfson joined, and he's going with a typhoon will keep fans out of the game this year. So I'm still going with an oil spill or Ebola. That's what I think is going to stop fans from attending the game this year. But we'll get to go for football in just a little bit. You mentioned it out of the gate, Daniel. NFL free agency, the legal tampering period starts next week. Full disclosure, we're recording this on the evening of Monday, March the 4th. This pod will drop the morning of Tuesday, March the 5th. I'm going to play the hits that we've been playing for about the last 2 months now, talking about the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, Danielle Hunter, Justin Jefferson. Those are the big question marks right now. We had the Alexander Mattison release just a few days ago. I think that was a Friday news dump? Was that over the weekend? When did that happen? I'm already losing track of when that happened. What do you know and what are you thinking when it comes to your soon-to-be Super Bowl champion one of these days, Minnesota Vikings? What do you got?
I think Kirk Cousins will end up getting a better offer from somebody else, and Minnesota will have that max point where they're not willing to go over this number. And maybe, you know, it's one of those things where Kirk is in a position where he wants more security past, you know, even the first, second, and third year of the deal. Maybe wanting 3 years of fully guaranteed money, or at least 2 years of fully guaranteed money. And the Vikings probably aren't willing to commit much past this season. And at his age, coming off an Achilles injury, there are a lot of variables at play here that ultimately drive the future plans. And I see salary cap wise.
I think Daniel just got so excited about the Minnesota Vikings NFL free agency and the salary cap that he dropped off. Were you that excited that you just couldn't contain yourself, bud?
It came on the screen. It said, "Aw, snap," right as I said that.
I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
If that's an omen. It's like there was a little box in the screen and it said, "Aw, snap." So something's the football gods are talking to us right now.
Aw, snap, relating to Kirk Cousins. I like what the equipment, the software did for us there. On Kirk Cousins, Daniel, I tend to agree with you. It just seems like the Vikings are going to make him, I talked about this with Doogie, a good offer, a life-changing offer, one where he would walk away with a lot of money. But if the Atlanta Falcons aren't going to trade for Justin Fields, and maybe that'll still happen, the talk on that seems to have come back down a bit. But let's say it is Atlanta or it's somebody else, and I'm just going to throw out numbers. If the Vikings say, we'll give you 2 and 70 with most of it guaranteed, you know, maybe it's 50 to 60, and somebody else comes in and says, we'll give you 3 years and 105 and all of it's guaranteed, it just seems like, knowing him and how he operates, it would be really tough to turn down $30, $40, $50 million more in guaranteed money, even though he's made more money than he would ever need. It's just seems possible or likely that he would take that money based off of what he's done in the past. And, you know, Doogie and I talked about this in the last pod. And again, go back and listen to it in this feed or find it on YouTube. It's also possible, you know, people have said, and I've been one of these people, Daniel, and I'd love to get your take on this. Well, maybe Kirk Cousins should take a pay cut because this is the closest he'll ever be to winning a Super Bowl. Well, you could make the case he might be as close, if not closer, if he takes that deal with the Atlanta Falcons. So he gets more money and he's just as close, if not closer, to a Super Bowl. Kind of seems like the best of both worlds if you're using the Atlanta scenario. There are other scenarios of places he could land with rosters that are also pretty good.
Yeah, and you have to remember the family dynamic of his wife Julie's family being from the area, and Kirk's family, I believe, lives in Orlando, so Atlanta's pretty close by, so that's an attractive aspect of it too if you're going somewhere else and they present you with the offer that's strong. And, you know, Raheem Morris,
aw, snap, we've lost Daniel again. We're gonna have to give him a hard time about that that dial-up internet that he may be using. I was actually really interested to get his take on Raheem Morris at Atlanta, so I know we'll have him back here in just seconds, and we'll cross our fingers and pray for a better internet connection when it comes to Daniel House. On Kirk Cousins and Raheem Morris at Atlanta, the Raheem Morris thing is interesting to me because he's a guy that's, you know, more defensive, and then that kind of reminds me of when he was here, Kirk Cousins speaking, when he was here, speaking of Kirk Cousins, when he was here with Mike Zimmer. I wonder how that would translate to somebody like Raheem Morris. I was just giving people crap, Daniel. I said, we're going to have to give him a hard time about the dial-up that he must be using.
No, it said Google has a bug. It said, oh, snap, now. And then it came up and said there's a bug with StreamYard. And to turn off your virtual background, so you got to look at me with this green screen.
I like the green screen. Okay, you were talking Raheem Morris, and when you lost connection there, I told people I was really interested to hear your take on it, on Atlanta and Raheem Morris and how that might work, specifically because Raheem's a defensive guy, and we all know how different personality. And we all know how the Kirk Cousins thing worked with a defensive guy here in Minnesota and Mike Zimmer. What could that dynamic look like in Atlanta?
Well, yeah, and you look at who they hired as an offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, who worked with Sean McVay. So from a scheme standpoint, terminology-wise, Kirk being able to play in that type of offense. I also thought it was interesting when you listen to the big smoke plume sessions out of Indy where the coaches spew the smoke out. Raheem Morris basically talked about he probably wouldn't have been in that job had they received better quarterback play last year. So that alone was, like, to me, basically a signal that indicated, if you're willing to believe it, that they're going to be in the market for a quarterback. And I just see, you know, there's smoke to Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. I mean, Arthur Blank wants to win now. He's 81 years old. He does not want to go with a young quarterback, potentially whiff on it, and then not have success.
On Justin Jefferson, I think everybody still pretty much believes that this deal's going to get done, but it is a little interesting to me that it was so close the eve of the season last year, and I know things have changed, and Justin Jefferson, his camp probably want a tiny bit more clarity on the quarterback position, although I do believe, for the most part, I don't really think it matters. I think he'll sign here if the deal is right, and he can test free agency again in 3 or 4 years when he still has some leverage and still a good chunk of his career left. But it is a little interesting that the deal's not done, and whatever the issue is, sounds like it might be on guaranteeing money past year one, if we believe that to be true, and I have every reason to believe that it is. It just seems like at this point it's kind of odd that that deal hasn't gotten done, but I fully expect that it will.
Well, and now with the salary cap going up, that's another reason why, you know, Justin Jefferson's value has gotten even higher than it was a few weeks ago. And, you know, that rumbling goes throughout the agent circles that, hey, the salary cap's going to be going up. This could potentially help Justin Jefferson secure even more money and get a financially lucrative contract that puts him in a position to be one of the highest paid player non-quarterbacks in the league. So I view it as it will get done, but I do believe every day that goes by, I mean, we already saw the effect of this. Rick Spielman had a little bit of an approach here where he always extended people a little bit earlier than maybe you would be anticipating, just so you had some club control and the player knew down the road, you know, you're taking care of them and you'll figure out a path to potentially get them more money down the road. Where here, I feel like the situation is more of, here's the parameters of what you're looking to do. You know, if you don't come to the table now, there's always time to do it later. But then, you know, market conditions change, price goes up. But also you got the variable of Justin Jefferson, who's being business savvy, saying, hey, I know my value is only going to get higher as more people sign contracts. The quarterback variable, not having a, you know, real clear plan on what's going to happen with quarterback, that certainly plays into it. Justin Jefferson wants some clarity there.
The salary cap going up also is likely very good news for Danielle Hunter, who was probably going to take the best offer he was going to get, which likely for many reasons wouldn't come from the Minnesota Vikings, even though he loves them, they love him. Probably that news, probably definitely, I don't know if I could put those two words together, but that probably spells the end for Danielle Hunter in Minnesota. Wouldn't you think that's just going to give somebody, to your point, Daniel, more flexibility to offer him a bag of money? And as talked about with you, as talked about with Doogie, he's left some money on the table in his career. So this is a chance for him to get some of that money back.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to get a really nice offer. B-Flow is definitely going to be pounding on the table to try to get Danielle back. I would personally make Danielle the high priority with Justin Jefferson, try to get those two deals done. Then that opens up, you know, the NFL draft for a variety of different scenarios. You know, I'm feeling like Bo Nix would be a very nice fit for the Vikings. Maybe you go pass rusher, defensive tackle. Byron Murphy's one of my favorite players in this draft. I think as a defensive tackle, Vikings really need to prioritize getting better up the middle on the defensive line. They could potentially draft him at 11, Jared Verse from Florida State, then look at maybe trying to trade back up into the back half of the first round for someone like Bo Nix, who has a lot of experience, 60 career starts at the college level, watched all the QBs, and I feel like Bo Nix is a great fit for what the Vikings are looking to do offensively. My second choice would probably be J.J. McCarthy, but I think J.J. McCarthy, as expected, draft stock is soaring and the league's viewing him higher than the media initially perceived.
In closing on the purple, one free agent you would love to see the Minnesota Vikings bring in, one Minnesota Vikings free agent who we haven't touched on, or potential free agent that we haven't touched on yet, who you think the Vikings are going to lose that you're going to miss. So one incoming player you want, one player maybe we're not talking about that the Vikings are going to lose that you'll miss.
I would say I'd like to see them sign Dorrance Armstrong, a defensive lineman, an edge rushing pass rusher from the Dallas Cowboys. I think he can get him at a fairly affordable deal, maybe in that 3-year, 26 mil range. He's 26 years old, he's been productive on a rotational basis. Somebody I think that could provide instant impact, pass rushing juice to the team. So keep an eye on him as a potential option. Player that the Vikings could potentially miss, I would go with KJ Osborne. Now, I say that, you know, he's very reliable and he's played a huge role in this offensive scheme with Kevin O'Connell. I thought he's been very consistent, someone that Kevin has given a lot of love to over the course of his career here, the type of impact that he's had in the locker room as a leader, just a stable player in that wide receiver room. However, I would say that I do believe this is an extremely, extremely deep wide receiver class that you can definitely draft wide receiver later. I do think there's a cutoff point. This is a fascinating draft, Ross, digging into it deeper. That the amount of entries being lower creates a situation where you've got guys that are maybe in that fifth, sixth round grade range that are going to be going in the fourth round. So if you're a team, do you get very aggressive trying to move up the board to get early picks so that you can draft impact premier players? I think you're going to see that strategy. Look at a team like Green Bay. They got like five picks in the top 100. They can do whatever the heck they want during the draft. They can move up, move down, all over. Minnesota, I think, you know, you might see them try to be a little bit more aggressive than they typically would be. But I do think if Kirk Cousins walks, your priority has to be defensive tackle, edge rusher at 11, then maybe try to trade back up into the first round for a quarterback, and then maybe try to sign a bridge option that's out there.
The Lions basically a quarter and a half away from going to the Super Bowl, and the Bears and Packers with just a plethora of draft picks in the top three rounds. Tough spot to be the Minnesota Vikings at this current moment. You mentioned reliable, impactful. You know, those can often be described for a football player, also can be described about your morning cup of coffee. And thanks to Beans Coffee Company for supporting Minnesota Sports Chat and fueling both myself and Daniel House now. Do me a favor, go to coffeebybeans.com. When you do that, I know you'll see something that you like. I mentioned that it's brewed in Mankato. They have the Mikado, which is actually the original name of Mankato. Fun fact that I learned from my friends at Beans Coffee Company.
Wow.
Once you check out that website, Daniel, and I know you have, you're going to see something you want, whether it be a dark roast, a light roast, a medium roast. Order by the bag or set up a coffee subscription. We all know your coffee is important, so make it some of the best coffee around. Beans Coffee Company ships anywhere in the U.S. with free shipping on all orders of $35 or more. Use that promo code SPORTSCHAT to save at checkout. That's coffeebybeans.com. Promo code SPORTSCHAT. It's a great way to support a great Minnesota company and a great way to support this podcast. I thank them for supporting me, but also you for supporting the show and Beans Coffee Company by ordering some of that great coffee. Daniel, if you would have told me we'd be recording this on March 4th, and I think there was some talk going into the season and during non-conference that the Big Ten might be down a little bit this year. But if you would have told me with two conference games remaining on March 4th, the Gophers would be 9-9 in conference play, sitting in seventh place, 18-11 overall, still a lot of work to do to make the big dance, probably have to get to at least the conference championship game to even be in the conversation, or just outright win it to get an automatic bid. Still even perhaps a little bit of work to get done to make the little dance, as I call it, the NIT. Overall, though, Daniel, let's just say they lose out and they finish 9-11. They're 18-13 heading in to the Big Ten tournament. I'd still be okay with that. I'd like it to be better, but I'm not too terribly disappointed. There's been a lot of encouraging signs with the Gophers this year. I would say they could easily be 20-9 if you take out those blown huge leads to Iowa and Missouri. And that Missouri loss continues to haunt them probably more than anything else all year. But can you really be disappointed at 9-9 in conference with two games to play, Daniel? I really don't think you can, knowing what we saw the last 2 years.
Well, and the thing is, you want to see tangible improvement over the course of the season, and you're seeing that. I mean, they're shooting the ball at a really high level. They're a top 35 team in effective field goal percentage. I talked about that when Minnesota made a coaching change, that they needed to make shooting the top priority. You know, getting above 50-plus percent in effective field goal percentage is something that hasn't happened very much over the course of the last, you know, 20-plus years, going all the way back to 2008. In Gopher basketball history, they haven't had good shooting teams. They're at 54.5 right now. Cam Christie has been outstanding. Got to do everything he can to keep him around. I think Pharrell Payne is showing more moves in the post where he's dribbling with intent. He's looking explosive. He's catching it in the high post, and he's really exploding downhill. Dawson Garcia, I think his defense has been better the last like month and change, playing with consistent effort and intensity. I do believe they would have beat Iowa had Garcia not gotten hurt in the second half of that game. That was definitely one that they'd love to have back. The whole resume would look different if you're able to secure that. I mean, I thought the game against Illinois was so much fun to watch. I mean, there's 9 total turnovers in the game. Gophers accomplished something that really hasn't ever been done. I mean, the shooting splits of being 70% shooting the three, putting together the 5th most efficient offensive performance in college basketball this year. Illinois had the 1st. You know, unbelievable offense. I mean, efficiency, shooting. It was a fun game to watch. And they played really well against Purdue, too. I mean, they had that in that game. They were competing. I just like the roster build. We haven't talked about Elijah Hawkins yet, who I think showed improvement over the course of the year, too, where he's making that extra pass. He's playing within the system and controlled and hitting some tough pull-up shots. He can really stop and pop and then, you know, also hit the 3 when they're able to rotate the ball and he's in a good spot to hit it. So I like what they've done. I think, you know, they got to win these last 2 games and then you're at home for the Big Ten tournament. You got a little bit of an advantage. You never know. You can get hot, play a little bit better defense these next few games. I think that's been the case here where there's been more lapses defensively, but also the teams they've been playing, Ross, they've just been shooting the lights out. And that's just sometimes just how it goes.
Well, even on Saturday, Penn State built their 23-point lead by just not missing for most of the first half. That was an incredible start of the game for them. You mentioned the Illinois game. Daniel, that reminded me a lot of an NBA All-Star game.
It was the prolific scoring. I mean, both teams just shooting at incredibly high levels. I mean, it wasn't like it was bad basketball either. I mean, like, it was just very efficient offensive play.
Dawson Garcia did not participate in. They did senior day activities on Saturday, which I think makes sense. That kind of threw me for a loop, but their final home game is Wednesday night, so you probably wanted to do that on Saturday, where my hunch is the crowd was probably a little bit bigger, or will be a bit bigger. Looked like a great crowd on TV, probably the best they've had all year as far as people actually in the building. Maybe they've had more for what they claim attendance to be, but as far as people in the building, it looks 75-80% full. Dawson not participating in senior day activities leads me to believe, unless he gets a Jamison Battle like offer, which I don't believe will happen in this case because he specifically wanted to transfer to be back in Minnesota, I think logic would tell you he'll be back next year.
Yeah, I think so, too. I would say he'll probably be back. I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, he's able to get back here closer to family, which was a big pull. I think the thing will be whether he gets some, you know, the goes through the NBA process and feels like there's an opportunity for him to elevate up. But I also think if he comes back next year, this team could be even better, can build off of some of the things that they've done this season. The key is going to be retaining that talent, keeping everybody around. And then I think you got to try to go get another big that can come off the bench and be impactful, because in a couple of these games where he got into foul trouble, the bigs weren't out on the court, like the Purdue game, for example. You need another guy that can play like between the 4 and the 5, maybe, that can give you some physicality. That's something that I'm looking at entering this offseason.
Remind me who was all in the mix towards the end on Cam Christie. Do you know that off the top of your head? Who were the...
Well, Michigan State was obviously in the mix because of his brother, Max. There was a couple other Big Ten schools. I'm trying to remember who else was...
Was Illinois in that mix?
Illinois was in there. Iowa was in there. Michigan State.
I would like to think that they'll hold on to him, the Dinky Town Collective, for as much fun as I like to make of it. I don't necessarily like to make fun of the people doing the work. I just think some of the ways we've raised money are a little interesting. They're doing good work and there is money available. So if it is just a money issue, I'd like to think that they could keep Cam Christie and that won't be an issue. He's developed really nicely here. But, you know, we talk about this an awful lot, Daniel. This is just kind of the reality of where we're at in sports, college sports specifically. Every year towards the end of the season, I think it's only natural for a fan base to look at kids and say, boy, I really hope they're back next year. Especially, you know, Minnesota's a pretty darn good school, but there's still schools that can beat them money-wise. I feel bad for the non-Power 5 schools, you know, because they're just going to get purged every year. But even for a place like Minnesota, you do kind of have to worry about it, and we've seen it. We've seen the Gophers lose players. Heck, a player who I made fun of an awful lot last year, Talon Cooper, is playing well for South Carolina. Well, knock me over on that one. I can't make any sense of that. But South Carolina, pretty good basketball team this year. So it's just the reality of where we're at. You have to think about this stuff every year, and it's sad, but it's also where we're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, people are so used to seeing guys come in as freshmen and play 4 years and, you know, get to know them real well. Now you got these guys that come in for 1 year or 2 years and make an immediate impact, and then they're gone. Like, the whole roster building process is different than it was. I think it's made college basketball even more competitive. You'll see the parity in the NCAA tournament again, where you can get a team like a Florida Atlantic or San Diego State that, you know, gets the right matchups, has the talent, plays fundamentally sound, and gets all the way to the Final Four. So I expect the NCAA tournament to be very entertaining and competitive again, just because of the transfer portal and how teams are using it.
All right, Daniel.
Don't worry, Daniel, I'm keeping the under.
I promised you 30 minutes or less, so I want a few minutes of Gopher football out of you. Spring practice right around the corner. The alleged spring game open to the public, I don't know, about 6 weeks away. What do you have in your spring football mailbag or notebook? And then also, what can you tell us about the next transfer portal window and maybe what the Gophers will be attempting to do in said window?
Yeah, I want to see a few different position groups. I want to watch defensive tackle, see how that position group's coming along. Obviously, Devin Eastern progressed last year at the three technique spot, but what about the nose tackle position? You got Logan Richter playing on the early down run stuffing type of situations. Theo Randall, who is a player I really liked coming in as a freshman last year, where's he at physically after another year in the program, but has all the physical and athletic traits that you're looking for. Maybe they look to bring in another defensive tackle in that extended in that next portal window in the spring. I just want to see, I'm going to have all my attention on the defense. I want to see the depth. I want to see the player development at the linebacker spot. I want to see how they're handling safety. You got Ethan Robinson, a Bucknell transfer, coming in at cornerback opposite Wally. Jack Henderson is someone I think will really thrive in the type of scheme that Corey Heatherman, the new defensive coordinator, likes to run, where he really gets the nickel involved in the blitz side of the equation. So watching that. Offensively at center, I want to see who ends up getting that job. Is it Cade McConnell? Does Ashton Beers get some reps there? I want to see who ends up emerging at the center spot, because that's really the only question mark. You got Tyler Cooper, you got Greg Johnson and Martez Lewis, who can rotate in at the guard spots. You got Ursary at left tackle. You got Quinn Carroll on the right side. You got Tony Nelson continuing to develop up as a depth tackle. They have a lot of options and versatility along the offensive line. And then, of course, quarterback Max Brosmer, getting a first look at him. The New Hampshire transfer, I've said a lot about in the past on shows here. Accurate, good quarterback when it comes to anticipation, throwing well in the red zone, had outstanding splits against the blitz at the FCS level. So all of those things coming in, seeing how he looks at an offense that is stylistically similar from a conceptual perspective to the things that he did at New Hampshire, that should help ease that transition. So those are just a few things that I'll be monitoring, and then give you kind of an update on where I think the roster's at after I see some spring sessions.
Hey, a couple quick things on the quarterback position. It's basically Brosmer and then a bunch of either redshirt freshmen or true freshmen. And maybe if Brosmer gets injured or he's not as good as they hope he is, they would just go right to Lindsey, the freshman out of Arkansas, a very highly touted. But is it wrong for me to maybe want them to still see if they can find another quarterback that is a bit of an upperclassman with a little experience? I know they They had Logan Fife in the building for about 6.5 hours, and then he transferred back out. Is it wrong to think that that might still be a position that they might be looking just to have a little bit more experience in the room? And then secondary on that, once you answer that, follow-up, is Kali Akmanis going to start for Rutgers, or is that kind of just up in the air at this moment?
So first off, yeah, I think they'll bring in a quarterback, experienced quarterback as a transfer in this spring window to provide some experience and depth there. Secondly, with Kali Akmanis, I think he'll probably be a backup there, but can compete with Gavin Wimsett. Obviously has the connection to Kirk Shiraka, who is the offensive coordinator in Minnesota, and they developed deep ties to him going back all the way to the high school recruiting process. So, you know, that familiarity is something that Kirk can use to know what Ethan Kenny can't do, what suits his skill set best, setting him up for the type of success that he needs within an offense, what he needs to be a stable quarterback. So, you know, those two will be competing it out. We'll see how it shakes out. Minnesota plays at Rutgers in November, so that'll be a game that fans will certainly be waiting for.
What can you guide people to at gophersguru.com, and do you have any Vikings work you want to share anywhere?
You can check out Gophers Guru. Got a piece out on the wide receiver room today that just came out. People can read about tight end group. There's one recently posted on that. A whole bunch of different looks at studies, broken tackle study on rushing plays. Just about anything you could want, and also some basketball content, been mixing that in as well. So Big Ten tournament next week should be fun in Minneapolis.
You going to check any of it out?
I am. I'm planning on going down there for the whole thing. So
I might go for a day, maybe Friday, or maybe even go watch the semifinals on Saturday. I'm undecided. We'll see how Ben does. House, this has been a ton of fun. Great to catch up. It's been a little while. Before we know it, you'll be back on weekly during the Gopher football season. So thanks a ton.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to see you.
That is at Daniel House MN on the Twitter machine, gophersguru.com. I am the Ross Brendel on that Twitter and X machine, saying thank you so much for watching or listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends all about Minnesota Sports Chat. And get to coffeebybeans.com and use that promo code SPORTSCHAT. I will be back again real soon.
Thanks for listening to Minnesota Sports Chat, presented by Beans Coffee Company. Use the promo code SPORTSCHAT. That's one word, SPORTSCHAT, to save at checkout. Follow Ross on X at The Ross Brendel. Like and subscribe to Minnesota Sports Chat wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and review kindly.